Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, just a reminder about our quiz. We're looking for two people to come on after 4 o'clock and take part in our quiz. It's a two-night stay for two people in the Royal Marine Hotel in Dunleary. That's a good prize. And here is your qualifying question. Which extravagant event took place last night in New York City? Was it the Met Gala or the Pet Gala? 0818 715925. So which event took place in New York last night? The Met Gala or the Pet Gala? 0818 715925. Over the last few months, we've had chats with Joe Humphreys about some big topics. Joe's the writer of the Unthinkable Philosophy column and assistant news editor at the Irish Times. We've spoken about empathy, been powerless, using philosophy to handle life setbacks. Today, maybe the biggest question so far, Joe, should we have children? Should one have children? Should you have children? Should anybody have children? It's a big question, isn't it?
It is. And that's philosophy is all about taking us to those uncomfortable places, maybe asking those questions we tend to bury or maybe we think we have an instinctive answer for. And I mean, I'm conscious some people find this a kind of distasteful question. I'm a father myself of two adorable teenagers. And to kind of say, well, is it a mistake to have children or is it morally incorrect to have children, which some philosophers would argue seems kind of
how do they argue that?
Well, they argue it. So the most common argument is what's called antinatalism. And this goes right back, Arthur Schopenhauer, a kind of German philosopher, maybe 200 years ago, advanced it, that if you're born into this world, you're born into a world of harm. So it draws to some extent on Buddhism that life is suffering. So if you exist in this world, you're going to suffer. So if you bring a human being into the world, they're going to suffer. And the idea is that you're adding to harm in the world. Okay. Now, it's developed by more modern philosophers, a philosopher called David Bentner, who says that your moral duty to avoid causing harm is greater than the moral duty to help or to bring pleasure. So even if your child has a good life, you provide them with good things, that doesn't take away the overriding moral duty to avoid causing harm. So it's a very extreme kind of position. I guess what's attractive...
So I suppose in the vernacular then, people would say, why would you bring a child into this world?
Well, that's it.
Because the world isn't, for a lot of people, in their view, it's not a nice place to be.
It's not nice. I mean, that is part of life. And I guess it's part of what philosophers do is they're kind of brutal realists. And they sort of say, look, you know, if you are kind of bringing a child into the world, think it through in terms of this child mightn't have a great, you know, time. They'll be born into a difficult world. The argument has got a lot more attention in recent times, obviously, with a lot of bad stuff happening in the world, climate change in particular. And so
overpopulation, groups, I suppose, is a consideration.
Well, overpopulation. But now there's a movement towards a kind of a discussion around underpopulation in certain parts of the world. So even in Europe and America, a lot of conservative politicians are worried about falling birth rates. And actually they're arguing the reverse, that we almost have a duty to have more kids. You know, you even get the kind of argument here that we need more kids for our pension and so forth. But on the opposite side, then you do have, you know, people concerned about the state of the world, the impact humans are having on the world. So there's organisations like Birth Strike, people who are saying that they're not going to have kids because of the state of the world and because climate change isn't being addressed. And it's partly kind of a statement, a personal kind of choice people are making because they feel it's just morally not right to bring a child in at this, you know, the way things are. And it's also a statement kind of to the wider world, to political leaders, to community at large, that, you know, it's not right that parents or that young people are having to make this choice. They're worried about bringing a child into the world because it's so bad. And everyone needs to take a responsibility to kind of lift that burden off parents. So like the surveys in America, for instance, or would-be parents, I should say, the surveys in America show about a third of young Americans are now saying they're considering not having children or having fewer children because of climate change. So that is a big factor now in decisions.
Because back in the day, I doubt that many people even questioned whether they would have children or not. It was and I'm using this word, you know, cautiously, the natural way of things, that, you know, you met somebody, you fell in love, inverted commas, you got married, you had a family, that's the way things were done. So nobody was reading the philosophers.
Nobody was reading the philosophers. No. It was a kind of a natural impulse. And I suppose that's true. And if you go back, children had a different meaning maybe in society as well. So you had children that were kind of maybe free or cheap labour, and they brought status within the community and so forth. And there was a social pressure to have kids. So I suppose what philosophers would, modern philosophers in particular, in an era now where we have more choice with birth, since birth control, so forth, these questions are being asked more. And so, you know, on the natural instinct, you know, I suppose people are saying, well, how natural is that an instinct? Is it a cultural instinct more than an actual
instinct? And have philosophers dealt with that? Sort of like people would have talked about a biological drive to have children.
Yeah, well, they would. And I think the thing is, what a lot of them would say is we need to kind of review our language around it, so that sometimes there's an assumption that there is this natural drive, and that may be how some people feel it. Other people feel that's kind of insulting or maybe a presumptuous, because some people don't feel that natural drive, you know. So is it more of a cultural drive? And that's an open question. I mean, some of our other aspects of language, I think, are problematic, and philosophers have highlighted this, you know, around, you know, you have children, or you get children, or you want children, and it's a language around acquisition and entitlement to children, if you like, and to some degree attach that old way of thinking of kids as almost an asset within the house, within the household, and that we shouldn't really say you have children, that you're entrusted with a child, you're responsible for a child, maybe you've been blessed with a child. Language like that is much more appropriate, and that we kind of need to adapt our thinking, our language, in line with kind of more advanced thinking.
It's obviously very emotive, isn't it? Because it is life. You know, it's the giving of a life. Mm-hmm. And then this entitlement, I suppose, and we have to choose our words carefully, but if people can't, in the normal run of things, have children, and then they go about it, you know, surrogacy or IVF or whatever, that surely is their right to do that, or is it? Or what would the philosopher say?
Yeah, well, I mean, again, I'd be totally non-judgmental about this. Yes. And a lot of philosophers would say the same. You have to approach these questions, you know, with an open mind and, you know, kind and open spirit around this. Some people, you know, obviously more judgmental than others. But I guess one of the philosophical questions that everyone has to ask is there's a philosophical barrier around consent. So when a child, you can't ask a child, does it want to be born? So how do you get around the question of consent? And one of the things philosophers would say, and one of the things that has kind of taken off in some places, is, well, you can kind of afterwards kind of think about the future child. You can think about the future child. You know, are you in a position to, are you promising to give that child everything, the best that you can give to that child? So one of the things that that's taken off a little bit in Europe is this idea of making a parental pledge. So almost like a marriage ceremony, make a public declaration when the child is born. I'm committing to these principles. I'm going to look after this child to the best of my ability. I'm going to give them an education. You know, if
but is it not easy to ridicule talking about consent when it comes to children?
Well, how do you consent? I mean, some philosophers would say, because you can't consent, and consent is a kind of more modern kind of thing, if you like, in one sense, concept that's a moral requirement. Yeah. Some philosophers would say that's one reason why you can't have children, because they can't consent, so you just shouldn't have them. That's an extreme position. Mm. But I guess there's an argument that how do you make amends for that presumptuousness, if you like? You're presuming this person, and you know, it's almost like a ceremony. You could say, yeah, listen, we had you, and hope you don't mind. But
I'm fascinated by this. So what would philosophers say then about, so we are basically animals, you know, and procreation is like top of the priority list when it comes to being a mammal. It's to perpetuate the gene pool. You know, that's what we would have read in biology and all that sort of thing. What do philosophers say about that?
Well, I mean, if you in terms of evolution, I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, the genes have a natural reproductive, this whole thing about the genetic desire to reproduce. It, not necessarily, I mean, in humans. I mean, humans have a much more control over our desires. You know, we're not controlled by our
biology, yes. Yeah.
There is that notion, I guess, to some degree. I mean, people kind of reduce to that. They say, well, I want to outlive my death. It's more a sense I want to pass on my genes. I want to pass on a legacy. And again, some that kind of is a desire maybe to pass on something beyond you. again, that's critiqued. There's a philosopher.
Quite egotistical, isn't it?
It is quite egotistical. And I mean, what is your genes anyway? I mean, it's not a whole lot, but a lot of there's a philosopher, Mara van der Lucht, who's written a book recently, Begetting, it's called. And, you know, she says, well, like, thinking of legacy in those terms is so narrow that, you know, you can have a legacy without children. There's many ways of having a legacy. And again, talking about a child as a legacy, it's kind of reduced into a very personal thing. It's an extension, as you say, of your ego. You're not necessarily thinking of
do you
the
see
child
your children as your legacy?
No, I don't think they'd see themselves as my legacy either. But no, I think one of the reasons, I suppose, when you think of good reasons to have children, one of the things that comes out of a lot of the literature on this is to build a loving, mutually reinforcing, supportive relationship. So that's if there is a consensus within the philosophical world around a reason to have a child, it's about building that relationship. Once you start kind of prioritizing things like your personal happiness as a parent, or what often happens, you know, with parents, they're very competitive, or extension of your kind of lifestyle, or, you know, because you think it's going to complete your relationship or boost your romantic, cement romantic relationship. Those sort of reasons tend to be more problematic, at least from the philosophical point of view.
Yes. So living your life vicariously to your children, they wouldn't agree with.
No, they wouldn't. Now, it has to be said, as a disclaimer, a qualifier with all this, philosophers, there's a lot of philosophers have very, like, wouldn't have large families. And there's a curious thing in the last century, a lot of philosophers didn't have children at all.
Because so they've given it this much thought.
I mean, it may be, whether it's a coincidence or a correlation or a causation, I don't know, but it is a curious
fact. But as I said earlier on, a lot of people don't give it that much thought.
Yeah, and maybe that's the way to have more children, is don't think about it too much.
You would find that people who've decided that they're not going to have children, they've obviously given it a lot of thought.
I mean, sometimes it's there's no choice.
Yeah, there's no choice. There's no choice. But people. Yeah. But some people have decided to.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that's it. I mean, I think what you know, the philosophical perspective is sometimes, you know, it's asking you to find a logical reason to have a child, and sometimes that it doesn't present itself. And again, there's an argument that if you wait forever for a perfect reason to come along, you know, you mightn't actually find it. And that applies to a lot of areas of life, you know, trying to find a perfect answer. You just have to go with the uncertainty.
It's fascinating as well about you know, population trends. And there was a time when there was a high mortality rate in a lot of countries. And as you mentioned earlier on, people had children to take care of them in their old age. And because some of them would die, they had more of them. Of course, that's not the case anymore. So, and then we have contraceptives, so families are smaller. That has a knock-on effect. You were talking before we came on air about this opt-out thing, and who's come up with this and what is it?
Yeah, so again, this is a kind of a newer philosophical notion that a couple of philosophers are advancing, that rather than, if you like, because we have easy access to contraception now and you have reversible contraception, that one should start from a default position of no kids, and that we should all be on contraception from the start. As soon as you're sexually active, we should all be on reversible contraception of some description, and that you opt out of that rather than opting into contraception. And that the idea is that you're really thinking hard then. So you're deciding, okay, you or your partner are both deciding, okay, we're making
this
a serious decision. It's a much more conscious act, yeah. And
it's interesting because, and I don't know the current statistics, but I remember reading a few years ago that 33% of pregnancies were unplanned.
And if you look historically, I suppose one of the things, again, people sometimes refer to is, if you go back another few generations, that, you know, pregnancy or birth was a consequence very often. It wasn't a choice. And it's a choice now. So there was a period, now we have much more control, and we've moved from a period of pregnancy and having children is just a consequence of life nearly. It just happens, or it's a natural urge, or it's something that happens to you sometimes, you know, and even go against your will in many communities going back the years, to now it's much more a conscious choice. So that transition has raised all these new questions. Uh-huh. That's part of it. And I suppose new technology as well is raising new questions
It's fascinating.
Changes in the world around us too. Yeah, yeah. So
Yeah, well, that's raised a lot of questions there. Go away and chew on that. Joe, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks,
that's
Ray.
Joe Humphries there. We'll take a quick commercial break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.